We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, 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 Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the EP podcast. First of 2022. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, we have our reality check master, Tiffany Meeks.
What's up, guys?
How's it going? We have the great Siobhan. What's up, Siobhan?
Wish poppin'.
Well, you know what?
This is the first pod of the year, huh?
This is the first 2022 Miami Heat beat. We started in 2013. We are nine calendar years deep in this, guys.
That's fun. We gotta do an anniversary show.
We're thinking about doing some stuff. We have some things in that Brian and I have talked about at year five. We're like, man, if we make it to year 10, you know, we have some stuff that, you know, we're all coming up. We're going to make it to year 10, you know, unless, you know, just, I don't know if y'all seen that movie, Don't Look Up, unless something like that happens, you know. we're going to make it. Welcome to our lovely audience. Welcome to my co-host and everybody. Lot to get into today. You know, we're about halfway through the season, almost. All-star break is around the corner. We're soon going to unveil our all-star picks. We'll do something fun for that. Last night was a doozy. You know what, Simon? These people have a tendency to play fun games. Even when their roster's filled with non-NBA players, they, you know, when their best player on the court gets ejected, they fucking find ways to make shit fun.
Damn, this guy. Yeah, no, they do. The other way. We're going to get it right.
We'll get it.
No, they do. They do. You know, we give the minimum contract guys a lot, or you guys give them a lot of shit. But, you know, everyone that's in the NBA is here for a reason. These 10 days, you know, circumstances, you know, outside. But, yeah, you know, they put together, they have a group of guys who have had to play a bunch of different styles within the course of the season kind of already. And, you know, at some points it's a little frustrating. Sometimes it feels a little helter-skelter or, you know, not what we anticipated coming into the season. But, you know, we haven't had such huge a chunk of our lineup. But yeah, they find a way. Guys are disciplined for the most part, and you know they go out and give effort and they execute. And even when you don't execute, there haven't been too many nights where the effort has lacked. And when the effort has lacked, it shows and it's gross to watch, and you know all of these other things. But when it's on, and it's been on throughout this stretch. And yeah, last night was fun. I don't know if I anticipated it being fun or not without Dame and CJ. Not too familiar with Portland's roster, but it was fun, and I was proud of the group for not letting the shit slip away.
Yeah,
I'm in love with this team, and I think the last 2 years I've been very pom-pom Heat guy, which is not typically for people that have listened to the show a long time, you know, I shit on the team that made the finals, right? Like up until that happened, I was like, this is just, they're not good enough. These are their weaknesses. How are they? And I'm kind of always, I'm not Heat optimist guy. And I don't know. And I was last year too, Tiff, to your credit, you and Siobhan especially, I was super Heat optimist. And you're just like, ain't no plastic surgery in the world that's going to fix these problems.
Yes, Dr. Miami.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Well, it's, you know, I'm a product of where I grew up. And there is something about this team that I just really believe in, whether it's Jimmy Butler, who I think goes under the rug. The day before game one of the playoffs, I was like, I feel like Jimmy Butler gives you a chance to win every night in the way that Dwayne Wade does. And he went like 6 for 20 or something like that. It was a really bad game. That dude just inspires a confidence in me that I legitimately haven't felt since Dwayne. I really believe in Kyle. Obviously, right? Kyle Lowry Lifer, that's my guy. But I think the product on the floor speaks for itself. When they have been ravaged by COVID and injuries, he has been the most consistent figure that he's played the most games after him and Duncan have played the most games on the team. And he is leading the team pretty much. Deadman and him are leading the team in plus minus. I mean, they haven't even been whole yet, right? They've been whole for what? 2 weeks, they demolished the league in those 2 weeks. Small sample. And that wasn't even Tiff them maximize. So I don't know if I'm being super Heat optimist guy for, you know, which is not typically in my character. This team just has the makeup of something that I genuinely believe in.
So I'll let you know something that I like slipped and told Shy today. In our little side conversation.
It's funny
realistically,
there.
Like realistically, healthy, they got enough to win the chip.
Let's go.
All right. But now I gave you your flowers. I got to give you your medicine.
That's fine.
Because
we take them.
I just don't foresee a pathway to all of the key figures being healthy all at the right time in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is where I'm just kind of sitting back and looking at the landscape of what's happening with the league. Because healthy, yeah, they got it. Well, healthy and everyone playing up to the
and
level which they're
maximized.
Supposed to. Yes.
That's it.
Yep. But that means everyone's playing up to the level in which they're supposed to play.
Yep. They can't out-talent other teams.
No. Been
no.
saying this.
No. No, they can't. But the reason why that small sample size was them just basically dog walking teams is because everyone was clicking.
Not like even that, because their shooters were not.
But see, this is where I say everyone, because what people don't realize is that everybody's complaining about who's going to play during the playoffs, who's going to get the minutes and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. If all these guys can do what they're supposed to do, if Dunk is not on, there's a bench that Spoke can turn to and point to a different guy. Get in.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we see. Like, they have options. They have more options than any team in the league, to be perfectly honest. Like, they really do. And I feel like we don't acknowledge that enough, that they have options. Yeah. For instance, you can call it what you want. I don't care if Duncan plays the fourth quarter. He doesn't have to. If he's not on, put somebody else in.
Yeah.
And if you look at the bench, that's why you can bring in Max. Knock on wood, you might be able to bring in Vic. Like, there are a plethora of options.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, but let's not forget, we were just marveling at the minutes between KZ and PJ.
Yeah.
Like, that combination, we like that combination. So there's so many things they can do, but they just got to stay healthy. That's the scary part about this team, is that your main three are injury prone.
Yeah.
So quick shout out to Dennis D2183, gifted 5 tier 1 subs in chat. Thank you so much for that. And I saw Outback, these was thanking for, you know, when you give subs, that gives people access to not having commercials, having access to our great emotes. So when you guys do that, it not only helps us tremendously, but it just makes the audience so much better and more fun. So like, thank you. We appreciate that so much. Sorry, Mon.
See, before we move on, you were talking about the shooters and in the, under the whole umbrella of maximization is the shooters having to be on, but in a way that isn't force feeding. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about Tiff. I know you and I, we talked a lot about Duncan being able, and I really, really don't want to sound like I pile on Duncan or get on him unfairly, but he is the shooter of the team. And he's the one that's had, you know, kind of some of the most glaring struggles throughout the season. And him being on again has to come. And this is kind of why the only reason I've kind of been holding out on giving Duncan his flowers as of late, because I need to see him on within the context of the rest of the team, mm-hmm. in the way that maximizes all of the things, all of the options that we have available on the floor at the same time. And it isn't just, you know, 16 DHOs to him. And we've gotten away from that. We've gotten far away from that. We're doing a lot of stags turning into singles, and we're doing a bunch of other things. But I need all of that to come together in a complete kind of maximization, and not just Duncan's hitting shots, but he's the only thing that we're looking at, and he is where we're forcing the ball to. Kyle is hitting shots, but you know, his assist numbers are down or whatever it may be. Kyle has to score, but Kyle also has to have his assist numbers. But the maximization isn't just the individual talent doing the thing that the talent is supposed to do, but doing it in the way that synergizes and helps like bring together the whole.
Right.
I'm glad you said that, because it's kind of really the basis of the pod we did with Christian this week as well, where we kind of talked about, well, the things that concern us most are their numbers look best when the stars aren't all together outside of the starting five, which is Jimmy, PJ, Duncan, Bam, Lowry, right? So that's the lineup that looks the best. And even that has a lot of room for improvement, because its offense isn't really good by the numbers. And that tracks with the way Kyle and Duncan were shooting early in the season. I've kind of, and I told you this, I don't remember if it was yesterday or the other day, I was wrong about Max in a lot of ways. I think what he's doing is legitimately real. At first, I'm like, this is kind of cute. And now I'm just like, okay, no, this is real. He's clearly, they did it again. They found and they helped the guy develop, and credit to Max, who put the work in and who does all the right things. Yeah. You know, and by the way, like, I hate when people say it's all the organization.
Oh, I hate it so much.
I don't like that.
They unlocked really... PJ, stop it. They've just given people more opportunity.
That's the thing. You can see the coaching staff. What they do is they find people with talent and they give them the opportunity to use said talent, regardless of, you know, what it is. Like, who knew PJ had the offensive skill set that he had?
And that's just because we haven't been able to see it at his other job.
And we talked about that last time, because while Spo has given PJ a freedom to do, I mean, yesterday he was using him in the BAM role, triggering handoffs, passing out of the high posts, all that. But when we look at a guy like Bielitsa and Iguodala, they just look a lot better in Steve Kerr's system. And it's, you know, sometimes Spo's really good at giving guys a freedom to unlock themselves. And sometimes guys like that, guys like your boy Mo Harkless, it doesn't. So this coaching staff is clearly, you know, an incredible staff. I've been saying that coach is coach of the year. In my opinion, he is the best coach in the league. And I think their scouting and their player development is really incredible, because early on in the Spo era and in the Pat Riley era, that was not really a thing that they did well. And they have really, post LeBron, absolutely hit on nearly every draft pick that they've taken. And they have found, you know, and before it was just like a Udonis here, a PJ Brown there, Bruce Bowen here or whatever. Now it's like every year they're churning out two or three guys, because they understand that they are investing equity in veterans and trading picks for stars. And what they will do, instead of drafting guys, they will go into the G League, they will use all their scouting resources, and they will find guys and they will give guys chances that other people won't, because they believe in these guys and they believe in their own system to help them improve.
The G League is such fertile ground. Right. Like those, right. There are dudes that are hungry and want a shot. And when you pair that with the organization that has the structure that, right, you know, right, has all of the pieces in place to help dudes who want to get better and want to succeed, they have the pieces to help maximize them. Then, you know, that's when you get good things.
Go ahead, G. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, like, when you have the Heat are unique in that Spo is never coaching for his job.
Yeah.
Right. Andy and Pat are never making short-term decisions. If they make a short-term decision, it's because they legitimately believe it's to win. It's not to save their job. They're not tethered to a draft pick. Sometimes guys draft a guy in the lottery and they're fucking stuck to that guy because that's the guy that they fought for and they believe in. And the Heat are unique in that none of these people are afraid to lose their job. They're right, always doing what they legitimately think is best for the organization. And it's not what's best for my job. And I think a lot of times Heat culture is really propagated of being something that it's not. I think if the first thing to me that Heat culture is that all those guys in that decision-making room know that it's family and it's a decision that they are not going to lose their job for. And that makes them different than everybody else.
Right. And I think, like I was saying to somebody, I think it was probably yesterday, where I think people like lose sight with like, this type of organization, they're about winning.
Yeah.
Like the winning is first, like not for nothing, but you know, that is the first rung on the pole is winning. So when everybody is like concerned and up in arms because, well, you got to give Jimmy and Kyle and Bam, you know, well, they got to get their 37 minutes or whatever. So who else can be left to play in the rotation? They don't got to get nothing.
Yeah.
And this is what we keep forgetting. It's like you go as the game goes. Like,
and every game is different.
Exactly. Every game is different. The flow is different and the need is different. Yep. And this is why I keep saying to people, if you get that Brooklyn matchup, you're going to need Caleb, you're going to need Gabe, unless you're swapping these guys for some otherworldly player who can play on both ends of the court.
Who can defend.
But this is why I keep pushing this, where everyone's complaining and saying who's out of the rotation.
Yeah.
We don't know who's in the rotation. Like, let's get to that point and then you see what's matchup dependent. Because not for nothing, but you're not going to tell me that Kyle is solely going to guard Kyrie for every game that he plays. There's no way.
Right.
There's physically no way Kyle is going to be able to do that. So you're going to have to sprinkle in some Caleb, some Gabe. You're going to have to sprinkle in some KZ because you're going to need the length. You're going to need the speed. You're going to need all these things to slow that offensive team down.
Yeah.
And you're going to need need everyone you got.
And getting minutes doesn't have to be these like huge chunks of minutes.
But people don't understand that.
Yeah,
they think it's all or nothing.
No.
It could, like, if it slows down enough, it's possession by possession.
Yeah.
I need what I need.
And this was exactly, yeah. Sprinkle some here. If that, you know, does what you need it to do, okay, maybe we ride that a little bit. When it doesn't, okay, let's pull it out, do something else. Like,
they did that in the finals run with KO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But that's the thing. Yep. Like people Absolutely. Forget. People think that like Spo doesn't bend. No, he doesn't break.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. He sees what he has in front of him. And then he sees the opportunity with the healthy Vic of what he may have in front of him. So there is no reason why we wouldn't think these guys wouldn't be able to sub in and give you 2 minutes here, two minutes there.
2 to 4 minutes, let dudes get breaks, come back. And it's made up of the right people who understand, I'm having this extended role right now. And sure, it's going to change once people, this team's deeper than the 2019.
It is.
And I think it is too. Yeah.
It is. I definitely think it is.
I super think it is. But and it's made up of the right people that know that I'm playing this role right now because this is what is necessary. The team is shorthanded, so my role is elevated right now. When everyone's back, it's not going to be Juan Toscano-Anderson in Golden State. When Clay comes back, roles are going to change. And dudes know that and understand. And that's part of that culture, G, like the buy-in, the stability, the like everyone in one common goal.
Those guys trust Spo because Spo yeah. trusts them. And I know that you guys can speak more to the player coach relationship, but it genuinely feels like
it's paramount.
Like yeah. Spo believes in these dudes and they're like, this guy fucking wrote. I mean, I think giving Gabe and Max and KZ contracts last season when honestly, we were shipping KZ to fucking Siberia after last right. season. We were like, why'd they sign him? And honestly, I was not a big Gabe guy. I know that Siobhan, you've been on this really consistently. I was like, yeah, I get why you want to keep guys in your system, but I just feel like you could take a swing elsewhere. And I'm sure that matters to those guys.
Yeah. Like being moved on from without feeling like you had a chance within the system to really contribute, especially when you feel like you're trending in the right direction. Gabe, yeah, I was on Gabe personally from like last February, but Max came on really well, really late. And like to be moved on from when you feel like you're finally trying to get some footing is deflating and it pisses you off. And it, yeah, like to be reassured that, you know, I like what I'm seeing out of you. We can use you. You will be good for us. It makes the buy-in that much more genuine.
And credit to guys like Duncan, who, you know, those guys' minutes come at his expense in a way, has been really professional, hasn't said anything, has never not played any less hard than he always does. He's been, you know, giving his usual effort. And I can't imagine that that's tough, you know, especially because like, you know, he was Max's senior in a lot of ways. And Max is just having a better shooting season than Duncan. And I think at this point, it would be naive to pretend otherwise, as I was for a while. You know, the sample size has gotten big enough that we can. I mean, Duncan's playing really well. I mean, but Max
you're no longer sampling. It's a full meal deal.
Yeah.
You're eating from the plate. It is not a sample.
I still believe that the team is better if Duncan's doing what Strus is doing, because I believe that Duncan has a better understanding and is just has better, I guess, synergy with the way that Miami moves without the basketball and the way that he screens off the ball. I think that Max provides you with kind of a little bit different variance as he can kind of handle a little better. He is much more athletic. He can make an athletic play that just Duncan just can't. I think Duncan provides you a little bit more on defense. And I think as a passer, Duncan's a little better. He's gotten really good at seeing doubles coming and stuff like that. I mean, again, it's hair splitting. You know, Duncan's up to 35% from three when he was like damn near 30 earlier. So that number's going up.
Duncan and Max are two different players.
Yeah.
Like, and Duncan's never going to give you what Max is giving you. And Max is never going to give you what we think we're supposed to be getting from Duncan. The reality is, like, we keep saying his numbers are this. I don't care what he's shooting. I just want the shots to be impactful. Like, we have to stop, like, saying that he's at, like, oh, he's at a league high, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter if you're at a league high if those points don't come when they're needed.
Yep.
To me, that's the biggest thing about Duncan.
Yeah.
Especially when you have the team whole and you have Jimmy and everybody else back in the lineup. His shots need to be impactful. I don't give a shit if he's shooting almost 40% from the floor if none of those points really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like he should be a difference maker. Like that's the thing.
I think you're totally right.
Be a difference maker. Yes.
Not
the main scoop.
I've been saying this for two seasons that he should never be the main course.
Third option. Nope.
he shouldn't be the main course. He should be like what I'm sipping when I'm having my cognac. Yeah. Like he's supposed to show up and you're supposed to be like, well, damn.
See, I don't agree with Cartigliana saying empty stats, because that's not fair either. You know, I like the comment earlier from Ryan that said Duncan has gone from the pressure of earning a contract to the pressure of living up to one. Dude probably has some baggage that he's dealing with, you know, not to psychoanalyze the dude, but it's tough. I mean, it's different roles and his role changed because it's, as Siobhan has said at the top of the show, fewer DHOs.
It's the role. It's not the money.
I don't think it's the money.
And he has to understand.
But when you start playing bad, I think that the money thing comes into your head.
You're just it compounds.
Because he's a guy that wants to live up to his deal. He's like, hey, I take pride in that.
Yeah. We're sure he does. But the problem is that like honestly, like I tell kids sometimes, you got set up for failure. You were never meant to be the number one option.
You were never meant to be
the Dark Knight. You were supposed to be Robin. But because of necessity.
Yeah.
Then he
and this is why the contrast this season has been mm-hmm. so stark, because the necessity yeah. last season was much different than what it is this season.
Yeah. But you would think would help him, because he's just, I feel like he's missed open looks.
Yeah. And that's I've been saying that since preseason. I swear to God, since preseason, that was my thing. And that the open looks that he has been missing are the looks that he's going to get now.
And that's it. And those are the looks.
And they are the looks. And so those have been the things that have been concerning me, because like you said, the necessity isn't incessant DHOs. It's not, you know, all of this action funneling to him. The impactfulness comes from knocking them down when open in the flow of all of the rest of it.
Because the reality is, what you, instead of like everybody like, woo, Duncan has three in the quarter. Yeah. I could care less about three threes in the first quarter. If he hits one in the first quarter and then all of a sudden when we come out the half and he hits two, those are impactful.
Yep.
Like those are the shots that we want him to hit.
Momentum swingers.
Exactly. That's because that's how it's easy to go from Duncan to then bringing in a Max or a Tyler off the bench. Yep. When he's being impactful in that way, then it's easier to say, okay, now you take a break. Now let's throw somebody else at you. Because then it also relieves a little pressure off of Tyler when he comes in, where he doesn't feel like, oh, nobody else is hitting. Now I got to hit. And then he starts pounding the air out of the ball.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So last season, he was shooting about 37% on tightly contested, on contested threes, very tight, 27. You don't expect a guy to shoot, but on regularly contested threes, 37%, 40% on open, and then 47% on wide open. I mean, that's obviously like really elite. What's changed mostly this season, the wide open, he's hitting at about 43%, which is not as high as last season, but that's still really good. The open 4 to 6 feet range, you know, he's shooting, that's 4 to 6 feet from the nearest defender. He's shooting 35%, which is just below average for when you're open. That number I expect should even out. What's a little different is he's shooting 30% at contested threes, where he was 37 last season. So he was a really elite shooter when he was being guarded. And now part of that is he's defended differently. Part of that is just that kind of lightning in a bottle won't last forever. Yes. Wayne Ellington had a little bit of that too. Yep. So, Max is hitting a ton of contested threes now, because that just happens sometimes. Dudes, especially when they're bigger shooters like Max and Duncan, they have the size. They're just going to a rim is bigger than you think. You can fit two basketballs in a rim. Did you know that?
Yes.
I could not believe it. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That looks so small.
Yeah.
But we also keep forgetting, like, as a shooter, he's not shooting from the same spots either.
No.
Like, he had a comfort zone last year where his spots were his spots. Yeah. But now other people are in those areas that he likes to be in.
Yep. G, you and I talked, I forget who we had on the pod that one time, but I think he, was it Wes? It might have been Wes. Wes mentioned that one of those spots that Duncan was getting a lot of you know, screens, relocates, or like fades were in the corner. You have PJ now. That's PJ's spot. Max, left
that
corner.
Was me.
Huh?
That was me.
But yeah, someone was on the show with us. Yeah. But yeah, you have PJ in that corner now. The left corner, that's one of Max's most sweet spots. And so, yeah, a new role, different ways of being defended, mm-hmm. a different rhythm and a different cadence yes. and timing that you're getting the ball.
And different like, teammates.
Different teammates, fewer opportunity. Like, it is a lot. And it is, it's a lot that goes into performing consistently.
I think part of what made him so good and what made the Heat really good is Jimmy Butler and Bam thrive in chaos. The Heat are not, they don't have a Chris Paul. They don't have a LeBron James. They don't have, even Kyle's not that guy. Yeah. They don't have a dude that is going to, or Dwayne Wade for that matter, I'm going to pick you the fuck apart because I'm so much smarter than you and I'm more athletic than you. And I could, yeah. Kyle and Jimmy and Bam create chaos and thrive. They set the house on fire and they take everything they got to in your confusion. And Duncan was a perfect complement to that because he is such a good mover. He'll always leak to the right spots.
Yeah.
And he's just missing those open ones. And, you know, some of that is, like you said, the stuff occupied in the corner. I think they've mostly fixed that. They've run more hammer screens for yes. PJ. Yeah. They've actually moved PJ out of corners
moved
a lot of times,
corner,
too.
Yep.
Yeah, he's
right.
doing more yep. stuff at the elbows at and the stuff, elbow. Which, you know, for people who say that Spo doesn't do anything to help, he's always doing stuff. He's trying to help his right. guys out. What were you going to say, Tiff?
No, I was just going to say, I think that, like, at this point, once we move into the second half of the season, we do have to be realistic and stop playing couch therapy, because at the second half of the season, now it's just, you got to hit these shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's no more of us trying to figure out who's in his spot. Was the pass not right? Was it not in his shooting pocket? And that goes for all of them, honestly. Yeah. Like
once March rolls around.
Yeah, you got to hit these shots. Like I don't care that you didn't sleep well. No one cares.
They have other options now, which is the point.
But that's what I've been saying, yeah. and that's where people like don't understand where they're like talking about minutes. There's no such thing. If you're not playing well,
yeah,
who cares how much you make?
Yeah,
who cares if you start?
About like Duncan not closing. If he's not playing right. well, people are playing better than
he
him.
He never closed though. That part's ridiculous to me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
People complaining about that, I'm like, he never closed, even when they made the finals.
Right.
Shout out
to Wilson, but that's the thing. And that's what I keep saying. But that's what I keep saying to people, where it's like, you want to push Tyler as a full-time starter where he shouldn't be there. But here's the flip side. Don't get mad when games are closing if your favorite is not on the floor. Because it's about winning. And Spo's had an entire game to look to see what the matchup is and to look to see who's on.
And that's
who's
going to
be in.
There are three dudes who are probably pretty much guaranteed to close unless something weird happens.
And that's And those only
and that's,
them
but,
three
but that's it.
Fine.
And
but
the other two guys, you buy
could be anybody.
It.
Could be anybody.
Not even PJ always.
Yeah,
close.
No.
I'm not getting
love PJ. They would commit crimes.
If PJ fucking
PJ.
Gets it. PJ knows. PJ,
but PJ
understands.
Knows.
And that's why they love vets, Siobhan. Because he's like, not personal. I'm here to fucking win. Young guys, the young free agents that you sign that are here for money and, you know, love of the game or love of the fame type guys, you know.
Right.
PJ is a professional. So like I fucking love PJ.
That stretch when they were closing with Max and Gabe and people had like feelings about that. They were playing well.
They
were giving them what they earned it. And it was productive. Like they were producing and doing the things that Spo needed them to do.
Spo is very stubborn, but let's not forget that Spo benched Shane Battier and Mike Miller in back-to-back playoff runs because they were not shooting the ball well.
And because winning is paramount. Winning.
This dude is not out here for your feelings. And
don't care about
credit to Shane and credit to Mike. Yes, Mike hit the shoeless three. Shane had the game six that'll live for fucking ever.
Yep.
Right? And those guys eventually will reward you, but it's quick hook. Ah, you don't have it tonight? Mario played 42.
You don't have it.
Right. But they're also fortunate. Like I keep saying, they're fortunate to look at the bench and be able to say, okay, you know what? You come in. You come in.
That's not a luxury they've ever had because it's usually you're playing 42, you're playing 42, you're playing 45.
I'm watching that Nets game last night and I don't care who was there and who wasn't there for COVID and blah, blah, blah. They're not deep.
No.
They're not deep at all.
They were supposed to be. But Blake looks like a shell.
LaMarcus is iffy.
LaMarcus is very inconsistent.
It's that first five and Patty.
Yeah, and they let Jeff Green go. So this is where they are.
Which five? Because they cycle starting lineups all the time.
Right, my bad. It's them three and whoever else. And Patty.
And then, you know, because I think Bembry lost his minutes,
Bembry,
right?
Yeah, because Kyrie came back.
Like Bembry. That guy's good.
It's Patty in the Hall of Famers.
But that's what I'm saying. So this team is ridiculously deep. So if you can keep some semblance of what you had that first couple of weeks of the season and push forward when healthy, they could be a problem.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Speaking of Mike Miller, what about Kyle Guy's lost shoe? That was a sign that the Heat were winning last night, as grim as it looked after Lowry was ejected. It's funny. Legendary. By the way, I like their standings now. And Moose and I talked about this in the pregame show. Right now, the top six are Chicago, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Miami at four, Sixers at five, Cleveland at six. To me, that's perfect.
They need to move.
No. Let me tell you why. If you're at four, you play the Sixers in the first round, 4-5. I don't want to play Cleveland in the first round. Do you?
Right. But are they going to have to go through?
No, they only have to go through
Milwaukee.
One. Because Brooklyn's 2-3. Yeah. So 2-3 playing in round two. So you would play Philadelphia and then presumably Chicago and then the winner of that bloodbath. And to me, if you can avoid Cleveland and one of Milwaukee and Brooklyn, that's a fucking win. Chicago's playing good ball, but I mean, they went into that building and they won and they blew them out on their home court. And I know that now everybody was healthy, but I think as a Heat fan, you feel pretty, I feel like you'd rather them than the other people.
Yeah.
So I love the standing. If the standings hold, and listen, Chicago is winning a lot of games.
Give me the standings one more time, G.
So at one, Chicago, at two, Brooklyn, at three, Milwaukee, at four, Miami, at five, Philadelphia, and at six, Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah.
So Cleveland, I don't know about you guys. I'd pick Miami in a series against Cleveland. I don't
want
to deal
with
that.
But you don't want
that.
That's a lot of young guys that want to run
I don't
around.
Want that. Because here's the thing.
They're playing with play no pressure.
You'll play that series and you'll have to run up and down for six games.
Because, Jared Allen.
Well, and also guess what? By the time you finish that, then you got to turn around and match up with somebody else.
Man's going to have tendonitis and then they're going to have to chase around fucking Zach LaVine everywhere. Yeah, no.
Exactly.
No, you
don't want those problems.
No. Give me Philly. Give me Embiid. By the way, the content for Heat Philly will be so fun. We're going to have a blast with that.
Yes.
You know, so I'm in on 4-5. That'd be a fun series like for content. I think it's a series that they should comfortably win. I know that Embiid's a really great player, but they just...
I'd give that six.
Yeah, if that. I think five or six. I mean, Embiid probably will win you a game because he's so great. But that's the way that and it's funny because if you were to tell somebody before the season, well, Miami's four, you'd probably be a little disappointed that they're not three. I'd rather have four than three if the standings are like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I also, I had said I think I had said at the beginning of the season, I'd pick them to be fourth anyway, because I figured I didn't even take COVID into concern. Right. I just took normal wear and tear in injuries. And I said, well,
I mean, they're half a game out of three too. It's just fucking crazy. Well,
just get home court in the first round.
Very.
Just get home court in the first round and then take it from there.
That's, I think the good thing about the Sixers matchup is we'll also get to tell. Have you guys heard about that Sixers story? We'll get into that in a second. But that's actually really funny. I still can't believe that happened. You know, obviously the play-in stuff, I don't really think Miami's going to be concerned with that. They're two games out of fifth, and they're four games out of seven. So I think that they're pretty safe, and they're just playing. I mean, this was their roughest stretch in a while, this road trip. Yeah. They're not healthy. You know, that Portland game, that was a blessing that you know, they were able to get that one, you know, in spite of everything. And I know, unfortunately, the Blazers were injured.
What's Dame's injury?
Abdominal.
Yeah, ab something. Oh, no. And then CJ's the lung.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary considering COVID right now. So CJ, stay safe.
Yeah, peace to him.
Yeah. You know, funny enough, by the way, I have to mention this as we're talking standings. New York, they're at 11, 18 and 20. What's down there? What's down there? Oh, Atlanta. People said Atlanta was going to be better than Miami. What you doing down there, Trey? Oh, Atlanta. Oh, Boston. What happened? What happened, Jason? What happened?
I usually don't even engage with the shenanigans. And I was trying to, I forget what happened between me and Knicks fans early in the season. That was the first time I'd actually got involved in some Knicks beef.
They're mean.
One of them motherfuckers told me, you know, just wait 20 games in. And I bookmarked the tweet and I never went back and retweet and mentioned it because I'm above that. But I see where are you at, G?
Where they at? All the way at the bottom at 11. Man, bing, they're behind.
Bing bong.